My precious heart dwellers, my heart continues to be torn because the Lord's body is so fractured, so dysfunctional, into hundreds of different denominations, all claiming to know and live by the Bible alone and have the true faith, while all the others are missing something they have. One loves instruments in services, even as the Psalms talk about praising God in the assembly with instruments. Others denounce the use of instruments. One faction believes in the rapture, another doesn't. Another faction believes in confessing sins to a minister, as it is written in John, when Jesus specifically gave the apostles the anointing to bind and loose, and he breathed on them. Others deny that there was anything special about that anointing, and God only forgives sins. But we are to confess our sins one to another. One believes we should only use grape juice for communion, never wine. One believes in prophecy, another does not, and says that all ended with Christ. One believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and others don't. They condemn tongues as from the devil. But all claim to be living by the Word of God. Is it any wonder that the body of Christ is so torn, dysfunctional, and divided that we cannot rise up as one body with one head and defeat the devil? Do you know that the Satanists get along better bonding to come against Christians than we do coming against them? Do you know that they get together just to curse us and cause more division in the body? Here's my problem. All of us confess the Bible, but none of us can agree on what it says. We secretly look down upon others who interpret Scripture differently than we've been taught. And that is exactly the problem. We have not been taught by God, but by men with differing opinions. If we had been taught by God, we would all agree, but we have not. We've been swayed by preachers who have differing doctrines. May I say, in heaven there are no disagreements on doctrine? In heaven the truth is pure, simple, and understood by all, even without asking. Why? Because in heaven the Holy Spirit permeates all souls and all thoughts, and he is never wrong or divided, for he is God. Every disagreement and division I have encountered came not because Scripture was explicitly one way or another. No, it came from the lack of knowledge of all the Scriptures and how they work together. Men have defined doctrines along one thread that seems right to them, while denouncing others that are clearly in the Bible, but have a thread that differs from their cultural upbringing and church family. What happens then? They ignore the other Scriptures, which could illuminate them on what the whole Bible says. They concentrate on their accepted doctrines and ignore important threads they are not familiar with, or doctrines that came from churches that were abusing their power. May I say, there is not one church, evangelical, Protestant, Catholic, Orthodox, that has not abused their power at one time or another. So do we throw the baby out with the bathwater? Or do we compare doctrines according to what Scripture says? Or do we break away with our own specific interpretations of Scripture? Let's get real. Are we afraid to explore the depths and totality of Scripture because we might discover some life-changing truth? Are we afraid of swimming against the current of our friends, our relatives, and the culture around us? Are we afraid of losing our promising jobs if we believe in something different than our boss? Are we afraid to think for ourselves, inquire for ourselves into God's word, because we might be in serious error or go to hell? So do you think it's safer to follow what someone else tells you than for you to search it out yourself with the Holy Spirit? Does fear of social status prevent us from going deeper? If any of the above apply to you, you are living in idolatry. If anything in your life is more important than the truth, that thing is an idol that has you chained. Do you want the truth, or do you want popularity? Do you want to know the fullness of the faith, or do you want to be socially acceptable? Are you afraid to see a differing point of view that aligns with Scripture, but is foreign to you? Who has control of your conscience? Is it fear of man or fear of God? Is it truth or security? In this country right now, we are undergoing a revolution because people for the last 70 years and more have accepted the status quo that is presented to them by the popular news channels. Now they are finding out that the people who work for those channels are operatives from foreign governments who want to steal our freedom and bring us under the control of godless men. They are satanic operatives who get their orders from fallen angels and Satan himself. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy, and that is what they've been setting this country up for all the way back before the First World War and beyond. Why have people believed these liars? Because they were too lazy and sound asleep in their comforts to go deeper and discern the true motives behind their doctrines? As a result, these agents of Satan have gotten into the educational system and prepared generations to embrace evil. Many generations have been formed by their intellectuals who worked in education and churches and universities to pervert the truth with subtle arguments against it. And I have to say, the popular faiths have also been deceived because they would not go deeper into Scripture and put truth before any other concern. The fabric of society is very strong and controlling. Do you remember back to your high school days, how you would be laughed at for wearing the wrong color socks, for wearing the wrong brand of sneakers, for not having the in hairstyle and watch? Society is brutally controlling, ostracizing anyone who dares to be different. Survival is tied into being accepted by peers. Conforming to the norm is not a choice. It's an absolute necessity to survive and be thought well of. And this applies to the religious community as well. Heart dwellers, we are called to dwell in the heart of Jesus and love one another. So there are many Christians on this channel who have come from a different background with different views and doctrine. All I do on this channel is share with you the Lord's heart. And he has crossed boundaries in his messages to me because he is longing to unite the body of Christ. This is a move of God. Repair the breach is what we have written on our bishop's shield. The breach in what people refuse to even consider that might be truth that conflicts with what their favorite pastor has taught them. Is this not idolatry? Are we not making a man into God when we refuse to search the Scriptures and test these doctrines for truth that may conflict with the status quo? Are we not afraid of being ostracized if we discover truths that our pastor and congregation do not agree with? God's heart right now is to heal divisions. That is why he is bringing us into direct contact with united forces much bigger than us, such as abortion and communism. These are united forces of evil that have come against God's holy way of life. And if we remain divided, we will be conquered. That is why you saw the demonstration in Washington, D.C. this past Saturday, with all kinds of different Christian denominations coming together as one to fight the evil of election fraud. Why am I bringing this up? Because I see how God wants to bring powerful souls together to work united as one to go fishing with Him. But the nets are torn, and the alliances He wants to form are hostile to one another. One of the biggest factions in Christian doctrine is over the simple issue of the body of Christ praying from heaven for its members on earth. No one has been able to find one scripture that says you cannot pray from heaven for those on earth. Yet everyone seems to be agreed that the Holy Spirit permeates all of heaven and earth, and that He is capable of letting you know when to pray for your son or daughter when danger threatens at any time of the day or night. But He is not capable of informing relatives in heaven. People argue that there's only one mediator between us and God, and yet they call their friends to mediate for them in prayer. Pray for me is mediation. You are asking a human to step in alongside you and another to beseech God to move on your behalf. Where in Scripture is that condemned? In fact, all throughout Scripture, we're taught to pray always. Where in Scripture does it say that you cannot pray from heaven? Do you really think the great cloud that Paul talks about is watching us make our mistakes without interceding on our behalf to stop us from walking over a cliff? There are pastors that know better, but wouldn't be caught dead teaching that because mainline Christianity would leave their church and they would be poor overnight. They are used to the nice house and cars and planes and offices and employees and will not risk losing their congregation, the one that they have brought up by mentioning something that sounds like it might have its source in that evil Roman Catholic Church. There is, however, one exception that I'm aware of. His name is Jesse Duplantis. He was physically taken to heaven for several hours before a Sunday service where he was going to preach. When he came back, the Shekinah glory was so thick on him that people were speechless when he walked to the podium. He proceeded to tell about how God sent angels to transport his body to heaven and assigned King David to take him on a tour. When he was getting back into the transport vehicle to go to earth, King David said to him, "I'm praying for you, Jesse." Yes, this man had the courage to tell us something that most pastors would never disclose. Maybe there's something very pure and special about Jesse. Maybe that's why God took him to heaven, physically. Could it be that God meant more to Jesse than his multimillionaire congregation and all the fame he had accrued in his decades in ministry? Doubtless, he considered what such a statement could do to his credibility, but he said it anyway because it was true. Well, that's a beginning of bringing unity to the body of Christ. A brave man speaking out. Jesse is a rebel and a man totally in love with God. So he said the unthinkable. People in heaven can pray for those on earth? Wow! People, we have got to stop dodging the truth in the Scriptures. We have got to love God more than status, more than money, more than even our marriage partner. After all, Jesus himself said that he that loves these things more than him is not worthy of him. And it is these preachers and pastors that are afraid of losing their incomes and respectability who refuse to look at the truth of Scripture. As a result, we have millions of intercessors in heaven that are not being enlisted in our fight against Satan on this earth. But I believe they are praying as they cheer us on and are not letting our ignorance stop them from praying for us. After all, their agenda is the same as God's agenda. Save as many souls as possible. Why am I so hot about this? Because the mainstream churches have invincible ignorance and prejudice against certain doctrines that are explicit in the Bible. And as a result, they are not living the fullness of the Gospels. They don't have all the power because they're weak, watered down, and worldly. Let me give you three very short examples. And you who have been on our channel for a long time, you've heard these before. You see, I was a fundamentalist, mainstream Christian who was very dissatisfied with my walk. It just didn't measure up to the Gospels, and I knew it in my heart that something was very wrong. And then I was influenced by the musician John Michael Talbot, who was singing about all the things I knew I was missing in mainstream Christianity, the humility and the simplicity of Christ. So I went deeper. I dared to be a fool by exploring scriptures that my former pastors had surgically avoided, as if they never existed in the Bible. Here's a case in point. We are all familiar with the media censorship, right? Yes, it's a big thing these days. The general public is waking up to the fact that companies like Google have their own agenda on things, and it is not Christ-friendly. I just went online to copy the scriptures for this message, and I typed in, "This is my body." What came up? Not what I was looking for. Just three scriptures that didn't carry the depth of the meaning that Jesus gave when he explained this to the Pharisees. I got Luke 22, Matthew 26, Mark 14, and 1 Corinthians 11. None of these were what I knew I was looking for, the very meat of this teaching that Christ gave us. I forgot which chapter it was, but I knew it was somewhere in John. And that's what I was looking for. I Googled it again several times, and John never came up until I typed in, "My flesh is real food." This is the most profound and perfect explanation of the body and blood of Christ. For Jesus states this seven times. "This is my flesh. This is my body." It is truly food and it is truly drink. Seven times he says this. That's outrageous. Where in scripture does Jesus state anything seven times in a row? It must have been very important to him to do this. And look what happened. Instead of receiving this truth from him, they rejected it because it was an affront to the religious leaders. Blood was considered unclean. Now, in the mainline evangelical churches, they present communion as a custom in remembrance of him, which is also written. But clearly, when they throw the remaining wafers out on the grass for the birds, they are not taking John 6 literally. In fact, the common explanation given is that those who really believe it's truly the body and blood are engaging in alchemy and sorcery. Now, that's one example. So I was listening to Mike from around the world one night, and he said something to the effect that only God can forgive sins. This is the common answer I hear from evangelicals when they attack the liturgical churches that believe in confession to a priest. It is also how the Pharisees attacked Jesus when he forgave the sins of a paralytic. Yet in John 20, beginning at verse 19, the Lord clearly gives special authority to the apostles. They were the only ones in the room. "Peace be with you," he said. "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." That's right there in Scripture. The third example is when Moses and Elijah appeared to speak with Jesus in the 17th chapter of Matthew. Many times when I try to explain the relationship of the great cloud of witnesses, people reply, "You shall not consult the spirits of the dead." Yet Jesus spoke with Moses and Elijah as with familiar friends, which clearly sets a precedence for us on earth that it is possible to speak with those in heaven. Obviously, God grants permission for the soul to visit another who is still on earth, and the Lord demonstrated this. So you see, right off the bat, here are three knee-jerk reactions coming from man's interpretation of scriptures and cutting off true knowledge of what the scriptures say. And this is why we are a divided and partially effective church. Every church has serious corruption. And why would Satan invade a church and distort their faith if that faith was not threatening to them? We cannot afford to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Rather, we must test the spirits and compare the doctrines of men with what Jesus said out of his own mouth and what is written in the scriptures. Please think about these things. Consider what you've been taught by men in the past, and even those things you later found out were not true. Consider this before you throw stones at this ministry and accuse me of having a familiar spirit. Satan has counterfeited it with familiar spirits, just like he does with every legitimate thing. He turns it into his own perverted agenda to destroy mankind and the earth. So people react to that, and they lump legitimate situations in with Satan, rather than discriminating and discerning, which is hard work, where the truth lies. Consider that the Lord has given us a precedence for things that men reject out of hand. Why? Because we need to understand the graces associated with those gifts, like the cleansing from the absolution of our sins, like the intercession of the angels and saints, and like the close relationship we can have with the cloud of witnesses, and the tremendous strength we are given in receiving the body and blood of Jesus, which, by the way, was a turning point in my Christian walk. I went from worldly to forgetful of the world almost overnight from the strength of this sacrament, which makes us one with Christ as his bride. We become united with him through receiving his body and blood. I'm sorry, Lord, I know I just went on and on. Is there something you wanted to say? Jesus replied, "You have covered the greatest pain in my heart. I long with all my heart to see my body restored, to see the arms and legs, the hands and feet, the heart and lungs, all the parts of my body brought back and repaired and functioning as one. I long for this with all my heart, and I am hoping that what has been shaken up in the world will cause everyone to consider the lies against my scriptures and how men have prevented my children from the fullness of the faith. You shepherds that have hindered my people from truth, I am addressing you. You have been lied to. You have been taught error. You are teaching error and turning out lukewarm souls. My heart for you, the cry of my heart for you, who are sincere, is go deeper. And for you who are not sincere, I am coming soon, and I will set my house in order, even as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth on that day for what you have done to my church. I say to you, repent, for now is the time of grace and the illumination of all consciences as I uncover the corruption in my church. My mercy has triumphed over judgment, but only for a very short while. Therefore, repent. You have led my sheep astray and have endorsed sin and every kind of abomination. My mercy calls to you, for your time is short. For those of you who are unsure of the doctrines men have taught you, I have sent my Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. But you must divorce yourself from the world and its ways before you will be able to recognize the voice of my Spirit. If you are sincere and willing to be made willing to discover the truth, my Spirit will prevail in your life, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I have never stopped loving you, even when you have pushed my hand away time and time again. I still love you and long for your return before it is too late.